You're listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, desperately trying to escape Tokyo. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And this is your buddy, Mike the Ghoul. Going to take things back to the Monsterverse now, aren't we?
Yeah, we are actually talking about horror, even though I don't think most people consider Godzilla horror at this point. Mm-hmm. But Godzilla was horror when it first came out. And so, as we like to do, we're discussing horror, and yes, Godzilla, and all its many various forms and everything else. We can't cover every single Godzilla movie because there's too goddamn many. There are just way too many. But we can at least discuss some of the phases of it and the interesting things that the series has done. And I think it's worth starting off with the original movie, which has two forms, one of which is good, one of which is only okay. And it's interesting where the series has gone from there, because Gojira, the 1950s version from Japan, is a fantastic fucking movie. The American version is a travesty.
it's what a franchise this is, you know, the allegory for nuclear war, or whatever you want to call it, from a man in a suit to 300 tall foot CGI insane kaiju. Like, this has been quite a journey, and it all started with a guy in a suit on a little mini put together town kicking over models, essentially. Like, you know, come a long way.
It has come a very long way. Yeah, from that 1954 version, Gojira, as opposed to Godzilla King of the Monsters, that's the American version. For those that are curious, they took Godzilla and they re-edited it with a bunch of footage of American actors stitched in and around and tried to make it an American-focused movie, and it really just loses everything about it. The movie's, like, so the movies came out in quick succession there for a little while during the Showa period, which is most of what I've watched. Godzilla into Godzilla Raids Again into King Kong versus Godzilla, and that was where I stopped because I just couldn't anymore.
There are, though, right?
I mean, yeah. I kind of like King Kong. We could have our own discussion of King Kong as well. I kind of like King Kong. I respect the big swing from RKO back in the day. I thought that was a great film. I don't think any of the remakes of that movie have ever done it justice, but I understand that King Kong wasn't really doing much, and so Japan licensed it and did a King Kong movie versus Godzilla, and my god, it's bad.
Yeah, we've gotten some better ones since. This tried to do something, you know, bring together, you know, the well-known face of King Kong, you know, been around for 30 years with this new monster, you know, Godzilla, this dinosaur lizard-looking thing, and kind of, like, try to have them go at it. It makes sense in terms of, like, you know, monster-monster kind of pit them against each other, but it's art.
Well, and that's the thing is, this is already showing the transition of Godzilla, because for the first two movies, Godzilla and Godzilla Raids Again, he is the monster. He is the bad guy, the villain. Yeah. You have Godzilla. Godzilla rises from the ocean, a threat, an allegory and threat of nuclear war, goes and attacks Tokyo, does a bunch of damage, is killed. And then, look, there's a second Godzilla. You knew there would be a second one, right? Sure. And so we get another Godzilla, and the monster comes, and this time they're smart and don't completely kill it. It's implied it could survive, and then that allows him to keep continue coming back. From, like, King Kong versus Godzilla on, though, he stops really being the monster and starts being a heroic beast.
Yeah, it's the swing of, like, you know, the sympathetic villain that Godzilla, you know, has kind of turned into to this day. You know, is he our enemy? Is he our friend?
Yeah.
You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing. You get a lot of, like, different kind of viewpoints on what he is as a monster, from the threat at one point to almost the savior at others, and it makes him, you know, as a compelling villain, I guess, or even anti-hero in some theories to what he is as a monster slash character just in the franchise. Really cool stuff. I like Godzilla a heck of a lot.
It's interesting. It's goofy. Let's be honest. It's goofy. I get at the time you had to use a dude in a rubber suit. Like, there's no debating that. You had to dude and rubber suit it, because you couldn't do the monster effects that they needed now, back then. And stop motion has its limitations. They did some stop motion for some things. They used puppetry and other stuff for some things, and then they had a dude in a rubber suit, and that worked too. I get it. It does look cheap now, and there's plenty of those movies where you go back through all of them. I saw Godzilla 2000 in theaters, and I watched it as a funny, comedic movie, because like, at that point, Godzilla was so far past the point of being scary, he was that, oh, ho, ho, look, rubber suit guy kind of thing, you know? You just yeah. enjoyed it for the dorkiness of it and all that. But, like, at a certain point, the scariness of the creature was lost, and he became almost family-friendly, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. little kids started loving Godzilla mm-hmm. at this point. It went from, like, you know, a horror movie kind of franchise to just, like, you know, a big monster that you know the kids would enjoy watching and kind of, you know, wearing little hats and shirts of on, you know, you don't yeah. see a lot of Freddy Krueger you know shirts on little kids, but you see plenty of Godzilla.
Yeah, they made Mothra as its own creature. Mothra saves the day in their movie, and then they team up with Godzilla in the fourth film. And I mean, we wander way off the path at that point, but pretty much from the time Mothra comes around, Godzilla goes into full hero mode, and every once in a while they try and take him back, but very often, he's just back to being Godzilla again. Like, hero of a generation will protect us all. And, like, even in, like, the current version, the MonsterVerse version, Godzilla yeah. is the hero.
Yeah, and like, I think it's cool. I like it. You know, I like this version of Godzilla, and we'll get there when we get there. But, I mean, you know, I see where you're coming from, I guess, is I think what I'm getting at here.
Yeah. So, what movies do you want to talk about from this series? Because I think you've seen more of them than I do.
I have. I really like, let's see here, Destroy All Monsters 1968. Mm-hmm. I remember watching this like on a Saturday morning as a kid, just kind of catching on like, you know, UPN or WPX.
You're the perfect age. Yeah.
Yeah, and this was a movie that just kind of drew me in. You know, it was old, it was classic, but it was monsters, and it was a lot of them. I mean, you got Ghidorah, Rodan, Mothra. I'm looking at the list here. I don't remember all these names, but any big name monster, well, I remember them. They're easy enough, but I don't remember Manda. I don't remember Kamunga. But like, it was a movie that just brought a lot of monsters together and did it really in a fun way, in a way that like, you know, little kids could enjoy. I know as a little kid, I loved it. Anything else from this era? Maybe I've seen Godzilla and Mechagodzilla before. I haven't
He's
seen
iconic. Mechagodzilla yeah, yeah. is iconic.
Yeah, maybe I've seen the Godzilla Hedorah. There was a lot of really bad Godzilla repeats up here
well,
in the Northeast when I was a kid, so I would catch a lot of these on the weekends.
This is what we have to cover, is the fact that at a certain point, haven't we said all we needed to say with Godzilla? Like, how far can you go with it? Oh, look, there's a big new monster. Godzilla shows up. Fire breath. Like that's
it's the
that's
same
the thing.
Formula, right?
Yeah, it is a formula, and that's the problem I have with the more recent ones, is that even the more current ones, despite some of the new monsters they're throwing in, it's basically like Godzilla shows up, Godzilla gets defeated. Oh, Godzilla's we have to use the power of love to raise Godzilla. Godzilla saved the day. Like that's the whole thing of it. Even when like they bring Kong in, it's still Godzilla and Kong get damaged. Then they save the day, you know?
Yeah, they can't, they need each other. They can't do it alone. Almost like, you know, it's turned into a buddy movie, right?
And then afterwards, during the credits, you put on the Barry White and things get very awkward.
Doll and I.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Hey.
The 60s were a great time at the end here. There were just some fun movies. These were on all the time here when I was a kid. Not just because like I had them, I'd just catch them on the weekends. So I'm not that, you know, big into random movies from the 60s, but these were ones that I saw quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know from everything I've read, at a certain point, the series started to take a downhill spiral with the Millennium period, the third period of it, from Godzilla 2000 onwards. Godzilla 2000 could have been a hit. It wasn't. It wasn't marketed right outside of Japan. And then by the time they got to Godzilla Final Wars, they were struggling, and it was pretty much Final Wars that put the nail in, like, Toho doing their own movies their own way anymore, because that one cost so much money and made so little that they basically started really looking at licensing it to other people.
Yeah, they tried to kind of recapture what that Destroy All Monsters did in the 60s, just like a fun movie that was like, just, you know, full of action, full of carnage. But at the end of the day, it just looked bad.
Yeah.
It didn't look good. It looked like it was a 60s movie trying to be a 2000s appearance, and it just couldn't really do well with it. You can't throw, this was a case where you can't throw more monsters at a situation and make it better.
Yeah.
It's hard to fail that too. It kind of works a lot of times, but this one just didn't do it. And you know, I agree with you.
I mean, I feel that about, you can't just keep throwing monsters at a bad situation to make it better. I kind of feel like that's the problem with the MonsterVerse.
Yeah.
So, these are the ones that I have seen. I've seen everything except for the most recent Godzilla vs. Kong, or I guess Godzilla X Kong, which is, from what I understand, terrible. But then, aren't they all terrible?
In their own way.
In their own way.
They have their charm, and then they're still bad movies. You're not going there for the story.
I liked about 40 minutes of Godzilla from 2014. And then Bryan Cranston dies, and we're left with Aaron Taylor Johnson, and the movie just gets awful.
Awful. Yeah. Bryan Cranston, I cared about. I didn't care about the kid. And it got it right-er moving forward by like, oh, we shouldn't focus exactly on the human element. People just want to see the monsters. And then they kind of got that a little bit.
Yeah.
And Godzilla, King of the Monsters. But, you know, you got the girl from Stranger Things.
Yeah, Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah, and she's a great actress. I'm not taking away from anything she does. She's not the problem. The problem is the movie. You don't care. you just want to see Godzilla.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I understand they have to focus on the humans to a certain extent because you can't just make one movie full of rubber suits or CGI because that's expensive as fuck.
Yeah.
You have to use the humans to space out the monsters. But the balance has never been achieved properly. Godzilla King of the Monsters, despite having 8, 9, 12, I don't know exactly how many are in there. Like 4 or 5 big ones and a lot of little ones.
Yeah.
Is boring as shit. Oh my god.
The only thing right about this was, as a human element, was Ken Watanabe.
Yes.
My man brings it in everything he does.
He does.
And he's the epitome of less is more in these movies with his acting.
Yeah, no, he was great. Bryan Cranston was great. Aaron Taylor Johnson in the first movie was awful. Millie Bobby Brown was better.
She's fine.
Yeah, it's still, they didn't know what to do. The most awkward thing, I think, for me about that first Godzilla movie, though, is that in that movie, Aaron Taylor Johnson and the not Olsen twin, but who's Elizabeth Olsen.
Yeah, Elizabeth, yeah.
Their characters are married in that movie. Next year in Avengers 2, their brother and sister. Yeah.
Weird. It just gave a weird sexual vibe that shouldn't have been.
Yeah, so you go back and you watch the first one, you're like, ew.
and you know, and like, you know what, people got to eat, right? So
I know,
they were getting their paycheck, but it just felt weird.
I know, I don't begrudge the actors. I was sitting there going, whoever cast the Marvel movie should have sat there and gone, ew.
Someone either didn't read the script or someone just was like, you know, we talked a lot about business decisions on this podcast before. Those felt like business decisions for Elizabeth and Aaron. Stop giving me my paycheck.
Well, and Aaron Taylor Johnson is good in certain things. He was actually really great on Bullet Train.
Yeah,
great there. He needs to play some kind of weird, over-the-top character. If you try and make him an everyman, he gets boring. He doesn't know what to do with himself. And they wanted him to be the military everyman in Godzilla 2014, and it just doesn't work.
It doesn't hit. It just doesn't. I mean, you care so little about the people in that movie. It just, and that's not, again, I'm not shitting on the actors, but it's just bad.
Like, if at the end of the movie, there's this scene where Godzilla has just stopped the two whatever they are. It's the weird
Mutos.
Thank you, the Mutos, which is a terrible name. he stopped the two Mutos. He's in the city. Aaron Taylor Johnson with his gun is standing there. They both look at each other from across the street. First off, Godzilla shouldn't even notice he's there. But they both look at each other. And, like, there's this, like, bro nod moment between them. And you're sitting there going, really? I'm not certain even Ken Watanabe could have sold that. But he could have sold it better.
No.
But he could have sold it better.
He could have.
Yeah.
And I feel like there was almost trying to be the redeeming quality in the next movie when Ken Watanabe's character goes to where, and that was more like, I believe that, like, you know, they could be buddies.
Yeah.
I don't believe that Aaron Taylor Johnson and Godzilla have any kind of connection.
It's a very one-sided relationship, but it works.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But no, that, About the only one, like, Godzilla versus Kong is just power slop. It's so over the top and stupid, I can't even get into it.
The blood only one of them, and there's destruction in its purest form.
Yeah, no. The only one of them I actually really liked was Kong Skull Island, which isn't a Godzilla movie, but we're going to discuss it because we're talking Monsterverse.
Yeah, great movie, actually.
Yeah, great movie, yeah. Good King Kong movie, good monsters for him to fight. Really interestingly balanced, and the for once the human element actually works within the context of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. The whatever. I mean, you can say that movie has its shortcomings in a few areas if you want to. If you don't want to look at it for more than what it is, just a fun monster movie. But you know, things that detract from your typical monster movie, like we've just said, the human element is not a part of that one. Those characters I was invested in, I felt a little bit when my man was walking up to the one skull crusher or whatever. You know, pulls out his grenades and the thing, you know, just can tell what it is, and he's like, oh shit, like I'm like, oh no, my boy, and dead. Okay,
still, any of those movies I will watch over a couple of other ones that are just tragically bad. I think one of them you're expecting me to mention is Godzilla from 1998.
That movie, it's
not a Godzilla movie.
It's not. It's that. If you want to talk like a MonsterVerse movie, that's my Godzilla version to me in my head of a Godzilla from the MonsterVerse. It's very like, I remember when it came out that it was a cross between the T-Rex from Jurassic Park and the mother alien from Aliens. Mm-hmm. And that like really is exactly what this lizard looks like. It's not, it's a mutated kind of iguana or something. Yep. And you know, it really takes the, almost the science behind what Godzilla is and tries to like take it in a nice little package you can bring together. I like the movie for two things. It's Matthew Broderick because he's just adorable, and it's Jean Reno because he doesn't do anything that's bad.
He's a great actor. I do like Jean Reno. With that said, it feels very much like a Godzilla movie by people who, despite wanting to make a Godzilla movie, who went out of their way to try and get the license to make a Godzilla movie, are ashamed of making a Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand the thought process in there. And then, although I don't think anyone ever really talks about them at this point, there was the trio of Netflix movies, of which I could only get through one, Godzilla Planet of the Monsters, because it was boring.
Shin Godzilla was good, but that wasn't part of actually what you're talking about here. And I'm looking at this list. My bad. I don't think I've seen any of those.
They were CGI movies that came out around the time when Netflix really started getting into doing originals of anything. So they got the Godzilla license and they made three Godzilla movies. And God, it was off. It was mind-bogglingly tedious. That was at a point where I was like, okay, I can get through Godzilla movies. I can review them for the website. There are so many, I feel like I should. And that sucked all the wind out of my sails.
That's disappointing because, you know, you're almost given a layup here. You know, take a monster that's in a suit or CGI and put it to pen and paper, which should be pretty easy. So that's disappointing.
You'd think they could nail that, but they didn't. So.
I want to give a shout out to an older school movie as well.
Sure.
That I was looking on this list trying to see it. I know it's Godzilla 1984, but I didn't realize that the actual name of it was The Return of Godzilla. So once I pulled that up and looked, I was like, yes, that's the cover of the movie I remember right there. Like, I loved this movie, and I watched this movie going away as a kid. This also kind of made me feel for Godzilla a bit as a character. You know, like as a kid, I kind of felt for him. And the throwing the building on top of the little space looking space tank at the end there was a really cool thing. Like, this movie was good. I liked it.
It's interesting because that's another one where, like, we had the Japanese version, and then when they brought it over, they remade it into Godzilla 1985 and edited and did a bunch of dubbing and other shit to it and made a different movie out of it. I've heard that the 84 version is fantastic and the 85 version is crap.
The one that I saw was the non-dub one, for clarification. Yeah, the original one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've seen the other one as well, and like, you know, that was fun to watch at my buddy's house when we were, you know, 6 years old or 7 years old at the time. Yeah. But the 84 one that I saw a few years later, like to your point, took what that movie did that I remembered as a kid and made it definitely a little bit better.
I do feel like most of these at this point, just due to their age and their goofiness at this point, especially once you get past the first couple of the Showa period, they're best done as MST3Ks.
Yeah, this, yeah. They were what, you know, you think of as just that fun kaiju Godzilla movie, mm-hmm. you know, Godzilla versus King Ghidorah, Godzilla versus Mothra. Now Godzilla and Mothra get together and team up against Mechagodzilla. Like, it took a lot of just really fun movies and, you know, made guys in suits not look overly bad. You know, the humans in the stories, you know, were in there just enough because the Japanese tend to get that right when they do filming.
Yeah.
They're just fun movies. Are they good? No. Did they make a lot of money? In Japan, probably, but, you know, they're fun movies, and, you know, that we need that.
When they were cheap and it was just some rubber suits and some simple sets, it mm-hmm. didn't have to make a ton of money to make money. Like,
right?
Simple exactly. profitability right there. But they are movies, I think, that are much better off at this point when they're done as a party. You get, like, mm-hmm. some sodas, you get a giant plate of nachos, you have two or three buddies with you, mm-hmm. and you just mm-hmm. kind of sit on a couch and you laugh and you enjoy the movie and get into the spirit of it better. Because if you go and you try and sit down and watch, like, Invasion of the Astro Monster or, and I love this title for how gloriously long and over the top it is, Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, Giant Monster All-Out Attack. First off, Japan does titles better than anyone.
Right? That's probably like three syllables in Japanese language as well.
I'm sure it is. So I'm sure that's just the English translation. That's terrible. But also, when you have movies like that with such over-the-top concepts and ideas, you have to get into the spirit and laugh with it, you know?
Yeah, there's times when you're having fun, you know, and watching movies together, and, you know, you can just throw something on to your point and just, you know, laugh about it. These are those kind of movies, you know, and every group of friends should have them. You know, why not this era? It's just a fun monster movies.
It is. I agree. Like, and from that context, they are great fun to watch. I had a lot of fun going through with some friends and just watching Godzilla 1998 again, just because of how terrible it is. And how amusing it is to just heckle the ever-loving shit out of it. Should I have watched Godzilla Planet of the Monsters, the CGI film, on my own? Probably not. I probably missed the whole experience. So, and I think that's something to be said for all of the current MonsterVerse ones, too. If you're going to watch them, although I don't think they're worth seeing in the theater, I think the only way to properly experience them is in the theater with a bunch of other people there for a dumb fuck good time.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, to your point, like, I was gonna go see the most recent one in the movies, but I couldn't, like, my wife didn't want to go.
Yep.
And I couldn't find, I tried to talk my buddy into it, and he just wasn't feeling it. And was I gonna go there and have a good time? Yeah. Was I gonna like the movie for what it was? Sure. But I felt like something would be taken away from the experience by not just having a friend there to goof and laugh at it with. And I never got to go see it. And these movies, they're best served, you know, with a friend.
They are. Absolutely. You gotta have that friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll good just stuff. Need to get... We'll have to get some movie watching nights going at some point then.
You know what? We'll have to do that.
We'll have to figure it out.
Yeah.
This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, planning our monster movie experience. I'm Mike Finkelstein.
Anybody, Mike the Ghoul, is going to go work on his, you know, atomic breath and go brush his teeth real quick because he got a late lunch.
We will see you all next time.